Welcome to Recovery Coast to Coast, broadcasting from Clear Channel Studios in Seattle, Washington, carried live on Fox Radio 850 KHHO in Tacoma, Washington, and carried nationally in streaming audio at www.recoverycoasttocoast.org. 2 hours of interviews and features, plus questions and comments about this one-day-at-a-time adventure in personal recovery as we share experience, strength, and hope with others so that they may recover from alcohol and other drug and behavioral addictions. And now, Recovery Coast to Coast is on the air. Here's your host, Neil Scott.
Welcome back once again to Recovery Coast to Coast, the only program in America on the air 5 nights a week, 2 hours a night, talking about addiction with a focus on recovery. We are at the 40th annual NADAC conference. NADAC, of course, being the Association for Addiction Professionals. Our program tonight being brought to you in part by Bow Creek and Bella Vista Recovery Centers. They are just outside of Boise, Idaho, helping patients on the path to addiction recovery. You can find them at addictiontreatmentrehab.com. One of the exciting things for me being here at NADAC this year was seeing an entire track on problem gambling. We have done some shows on problem gambling. We've been at some of the conferences, and Maureen Greeley is joining us tonight. She is the executive director of the Evergreen Council on Problem Gambling. Welcome back to the program. You first started in 2006. What's new?
Oh, gosh. The field of problem gambling as a public health and addictions field has changed so much in the last decade. I think the biggest changes have come with a lot of the awareness on public health and Affordable Care Act, Medicaid changes. We live in a time when people are starting to recognize that holistic health is really important. Integrated health issues are important. You can't deal with one issue in a human being and not deal with many issues in a human being. That's been very valuable to us because problem gambling in the recovery field, in the addictions field, has always kind of been the little ugly stepsister that's kind of tagged along.
And oftentimes not even invited to the table.
That's right. And still, we can get a seat at the table. But you know, the difficult part is I believe everyone really does want to see integrated health, but then you get to that ugly little point where they have to divide up the funding, and suddenly the turf wars begin again, and you're fighting for your place not only at the seat. It feels like the three legs have been cut off the chair, and you're suddenly on the floor at the table. But that's part of life in this day and age. Budget issues are a crucial thing. I hope that with the Affordable Care Act and the changes that we're seeing from SAMHSA, from NIH, is that we'll start to see some federal recognition of this. We'll start to see insurance companies covering problem gambling as an actual treatable issue. And that, to me, is a very exciting time for this field.
Maureen Greeley joining us tonight from the Evergreen Council on Problem Gambling. A lot of people still ask the question, is it problem gambling or is it gambling addiction?
You know, there's a lot of terms thrown out there. If you look at the official diagnostic statistical manual and you look at all of the scientific, it is a disorder. But so is alcohol addiction.
Yes,
so is
you're right.
Other drug addictions. To us, we call it problem gambling because that's what real people feel. Whether you're a psychologist, whether you're a counselor, whether you're a human being, individual, when you feel pain around something, you notice a problem. You notice the hurt. And that's what we need to deal with. If we're talking to a general audience, I want them to know that there's help when they're hurting, that there's hope that you can get beyond this. I don't care what technical term we use at that point in time.
Call it what you will, just get treatment.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about treatment. The last time we talked, I think, with Dr. Maurer and some of the people in the problem gambling community, there were only a few inpatient treatment centers. Has that changed?
Across the country, there are more inpatient treatment centers, and we're seeing a lot of the alcohol and drug inpatient facilities starting to add beds for gambling addiction.
That's exciting.
It is exciting. Some of them will run a separate track altogether. Some will combine them, and there are different models for different purposes. Here in the state of Washington, we still don't have any residential program. Mm. So when we send people, and we do, we pay for treatment. If you are referred by a certified problem gambling counselor in the state of Washington, the Evergreen Council will help fund residential treatment to go outside of the state to get that treatment. We need more, and we're hopeful that in the next year we'll see one or two opening up in our state. But there are some really good ones across the country.
What about help for families?
That is, for me, one of my main issues that I would like to see more done. We know that when an individual is hurting, other people around them are hurting, whether it's family, whether it's coworkers, whether it's friends, whether it's colleagues. Family components are crucial, both for the family themselves, who need to have some assistance, some support, some hope, some help, also for the individual. If you take someone out of a dynamic and help them and then put them back in that same dynamic, we know how difficult that can be and how often relapse will occur if there isn't a change to the whole dynamic, yeah, not just the individual.
And a lot of time family members are in a state of shock and stunned when the other shoe drops. Gambling addiction, problem gambling, can be so well hidden that by the time it is discovered, the checking account is zeroed out, the house is just about gone, the job is gone, and suddenly a wife or a husband or a significant other is suddenly hit with the shock that, my God, I did not even know.
I think you've hit on a number one issue for families and for people in general. No one can understand, yeah, how could this have gone on so long and I didn't
so
know about
it. Right.
How could I? So
yes.
Suddenly you start blaming yourself.
Yes.
And that's not where you need to go. Mm. You need to get help for yourself. You need to seek some financial counseling.
Quickly.
You need, yes, very quickly, because you may be at a point where you're about to lose something if you haven't already. You need to protect yourself. You need to get help for yourself. Well, it doesn't mean you love the person who's got the problem any less. You're going to have a lot of anger issues likely, maybe still some denial issues, but first and foremost, you need to recognize that it is a real issue, it is a real problem, and it's not a moral issue. It is a true addiction. It is a problem that the person can't just get up and walk away. So once you recognize that, you can start healing. When you're faced with all of the anger and all of the denial and all of the sense that this is just a bad person who did a bad thing, you're never going to heal from that.
Yeah. And the problem gambler himself or herself is oftentimes overcome with shame, humiliation, and I would imagine the suicide rate is fairly high.
The suicide rate for problem gambling is second only to heavy cocaine abuse, even more than severe mental depression. That says a lot.
Yeah.
When you talk about problem gamblers, you can talk to any recovering member, if you're lucky enough to, who said, I either attempted or I thought about suicide.
Yeah.
Probably 25% of problem gamblers actually attempt suicide. That's a very high number.
Maureen Greeley is joining us tonight for a few moments. She is the executive director of the Evergreen Council on Problem Gambling. When we talk about problem gamblers, gambling addicts, unfortunately, many people think of men.
Mm.
There are many women who are problem gamblers. Address that if you would.
There are. Early in this field, I think men were looked at more often. And at that time, there was a lot of talk about the different types of gamblers and that men were action gamblers. They wanted to be at the card tables. They wanted to be in competition. They wanted to be in action. And then people started looking at women and seeing that, yes, there are some action gamblers. There are a lot of women who are escape gamblers. There are a lot of elder women in Washington. That's our highest population of people seeking treatment as women between the ages of 45 and 65. They may be widowed. They may have health issues. They may be lonely. And they will seek something to fill that time and fill that space.
Bus ride to the casino?
Bus ride to the casino might be one. You know, we all have something we love to do that we sit down. I happen to weave, sit down at the loom, hours pass, and I thought I was only there for 20 minutes. It has been proven that you can escape into your addiction. You can stop feeling the pain. You can stop feeling the loneliness. They're great opportunities as long as you don't have a problem with it. And when you do, it can very quickly just cascade into a very major devastating issue for people.
Talk about the good news of recovery. You've seen a lot of long-term recovery.
Absolutely. So proud of that. You know, there's still a problem that a very small percentage of problem gamblers even seek treatment. We also know that a lot of people with other issues, whether they are drug, alcohol, pornography issues, any of the process addictions, any of the addictions, we know that if the counselors ask the right questions, they often find that about 20% of those people also have a gambling problem. We just need to get out there and ask the question. When we do, we know that treatment works. And that's the very, very exciting thing. Treatment works for the individual. Treatment works for the family. People become productive again. People have happy lives, healthy lives. And that's crucial. The cost, the societal costs of addiction are enormous when you think about the human value, but you also think about people who are not at their jobs, productivity yeah. levels. It really affects whole communities, not just individuals and families.
What about younger problem gamblers?
There's an issue that still has a lot of work to be done. There's a couple of different reasons why. We know that the prevalence rates for youth are higher than they are for adults in problem gambling. Then for some of them, fortunately, this funny little thing called maturity happens, and they start to make healthier choices, or they start to say, gosh, I'd really rather save that money to buy a car than just throw it away, or feeling like they might be throwing it away. But there are major, major issues that we still need to address. What's going to happen with internet gambling? What's going to happen as the lines blur between social gaming and gambling? This is a whole new generation that has grown up with smartphones yeah. and can do things without ever going to a casino or a card room or to buy a lottery ticket. And we've got a lot of work there. We still have a lot of work in urban areas. We still have a lot of work in rural areas. Just a whole different field with youth. I think our best bet there, to use a very bad term, is to look at prevention. How do we teach our youth to make healthy choices from the very beginning, and how do we model those healthy choices for them?
I would venture to say that if you're thinking about problem gambling, if you're thinking about gambling addiction, you may be way off track. You need to rethink it, because there's a lot more than just the stereotypical gambler that perhaps we grew up with. It's something that's very pervasive. That's the bad news. The good news is there's good treatment available and good resources. What is your website? I know you have a lot of resources there.
Yep. You can reach us by our website, www.evergreencpg.org. We also have a 24-hour, 7-day helpline, 1-800-547-6133. It's there if you're seeking help. It's there if you're just seeking information, whether you're a high school student doing a paper on problem gambling, or you're an individual who has someone you love or yourself seeking help. We will get you referred to treatment. We will give you information. We're there as a resource. Please use us.
What about the 12-step community, Maureen?
You know, we have a wonderful 12-step community in Washington. It could also be bigger. You know, everything I say about problem gambling, we could use more resources. GA, Celebrate Recovery, wonderful programs. They are standalone programs. You can reach them via the website. You can get local area meetings where you are, and if you don't, contact them. Let them know if you're interested in getting one started. They will help you.
One of the things that stood out for me as I came to the 40th NADAC conference was seeing a complete day of focusing on problem gambling. One step forward, one giant step forward.
It is. Thank you. And if you notice it, I hope others will. I hope it's just the beginning of a trend that will bring us together with the alcohol and drug field, with the mental health field. We all have to work together.
You know, good to see you again.
Thanks so much.
Maureen Greeley joining us tonight on Recovery Coast to Coast. She is the director of the Evergreen Council on Problem Gambling. We are here at the 40th Annual NADAC Conference. We're going to take a short time out. Back with more right after this.